It's time for the Anted Podcast. Google fanboys who happen to be blind. ANTADpodcast@gmail.com with your questions and feedback. News, reviews, and your questions on the Anted Podcast.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to another Anted podcast for this January 10, 2020. And this is Anted episode number 18. Am I correct, Nima? This is our 18th podcast, isn't it?
I don't know. I lost count. I think it is.
It is number 18. That's why I was thinking January 18, because I was thinking this is episode number 18. And I was thinking, hey, you know, it's January 18. But we do want to welcome you to another Anted podcast. This is Anted podcast number 18. And as Google fanboys, we want to particularly shine the spotlight on Google during this past decade. Last week, we talked about the last decade in Android phones, and this time we're talking about Google. So we'll be talking about its successes, products, leadership, changes, failures, and controversies. And so we're talking from 2010, and so we're going to do that through 2019. Nima, do you want to pilot this ship from here?
Well, we have some news first, right?
Oh, yes. In our news, I think that the newsworthy thing, lots of news, CES concluded today in Vegas, and there were so many things on there. Not too much in the way of phones, but there were a lot of fun stuff that happened in CES. But I think one of the newsworthy items to me has to do with Verizon and OnePlus. And so OnePlus is rumored to be bringing the OnePlus 8 to Verizon this year. So I think OnePlus is getting a footing in the U.S., and therefore I may even predict that maybe next year they may be bringing the OnePlus 9 to AT&T. And if they do that, then all the U.S. carriers now would be carrying the OnePlus. So kudos to the Chinese OnePlus. Is it a Chinese or is it Taiwanese? Never remember.
I think they're Chinese.
I think they're Chinese. It's a division of Apple, right? Apple, Vivo, I think they're all from the same parent company. And I think the parent company is BK Electronics or something like that. So they're from China, but, you know, they're gaining ground here. T-Mobile started out with them, and now they're going to be coming to Verizon. And who knows, next year it's going to be AT&T's turn. So that would be the little piece of news, even though it may be rumor-ville, but it's worth the mention. So, Nimmer?
All right, so we're going to start talking a little bit about 2010. We're talking a little bit about Google this time around. So last time, as we talked about, we did phone history. And this year, we're going to talk a little bit about what Google has done from 2010 onwards as sort of the beginning of the decade. So in 2010, Google, they had just turned 10, not too long before that. And so, I think they were, what were they, 12, right?
Yeah, they were 12, you know, because it started in 1998, a little over 10 years old.
Yep. So they started the Nexus One. Of course, we talked about that last time. And so that happened. Around that same time, though, there were a bunch of other things that happened. Oracle took Google to court, so that was fun. And this was about open source code and APIs and such things like that. So it was ruled in Google's favor. Before that, you know, but at this point, that ruling was reversed. So, yeah, no good. But anyway, it'll be probably heard by the Supreme Court. Hopefully this year, we'll see. I don't know. I haven't seen what cases they're hearing yet, but it'll keep on going, I guess.
It is.
So in 2011,
it is headed to the Supreme Court because, you know, like you said, you know, they were it was ruled in their favor, and now, you know, it's back again. So I think this summer or sometime this year, the case is going to be heard in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I haven't seen what the case list is, but hopefully, yeah, it should be heard, so that'll be good. Well, in 2011, a bunch of Google's leaders kind of had a little bit of a reshuffling there. So Eric Schmidt, he stepped down. Larry Page, he came back. And that was pretty cool.
That's right.
And then that same year, of course, we had Chrome OS that was released. And Chrome OS is, of course, it's really taken off with schools and even some companies. And now, you know, even with seniors and things, because it's a really quick, you know, it's a really secure way and just an easy, simple way to do things. And so that was the year that Chrome OS kind of came about, which is pretty cool. They also launched Google Fiber. So Google was pretty busy in 2011. It was launched in Kansas City. And I would say probably hasn't taken off as much as it could have. It was kind of put on hold after probably about 8 or 10 cities. So that happened. Then we also had one more release in 2011. The best release of all, I think. That was Google Plus. They were trying to take on
good old Google Plus. That was Facebook, the only social network I was ever on.
Yeah. Well, Google Plus, of course, is going away or has gone away. So that's unfortunate, but that's what happened. And then we also got Google Wallet. So now everybody, of course, you know, knows about Apple Pay and of course, Google Pay for Android users. But Apple Pay kind of really took off the whole tap the phone and pay. But those of us who've been using tap and pay for the last, I don't know how many years, kind of laughed when Apple released it as their brand new feature because we had Google Wallet going way back.
Google was ahead of the curve, you know?
They were, yeah. And actually, you know, Google Pay and even Google Wallet back then, it's just a really easy way to pay, very secure. So that was good. They purchased a hardware division of Motorola. And of course, we know how that went. Not very well.
Good old Motorola. Big mistake on the part of Google for letting that baby go home.
Yep. So that's what happened there. And that was about the end of 2011, but that was pretty busy for them in 2011. There's, you know, probably other things that happened there, but, you know, those are probably the highlights for that year. Then we move on to 2012. So we got Google Glass in 2012. And Sergey Brin was out there, of course, at their developer event. Google Glass never really took off too much. It eventually turned into an enterprise-only product, which is kind of unfortunate. I really would have liked to see it take off more than it has. You know, it's basically a pair of glasses, pretty much running Android with a camera. Can do quite a bit of stuff. It would have been really nice if it had taken off more, but it was expensive and it wasn't very secure, and that's what happened there. At that same year, we got our Google tablet, the Nexus 7, and I think they gave that away as swag at their event or their developer I.O. that year. I don't remember. But anyway, it's the Nexus 7 got released that year. Wasn't that also the Q or whatever that thing was that they released for a short time? You remember what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're talking about, but frankly, it's just out of my head. But, you know, that year was a great big year for Google because, like you said, you know, that tablet, the Nexus 7, and, you know, it was a great thing that came through, you know. I remember that in Project Butter, you know.
So Google combined its mobile cloud services that year and it's all its digital marketplaces to the Play Store. So that was pretty good too.
So in and other words, we got the birth of the Play Store in 2012.
Yep.
Thank you.
And then we move ahead to 2013. After all that busy year, I think they had a lot of growing up that year. And that Play Store really helped out a lot. Was it before that we had, what was it, the Market?
We had the Marketplace, yeah.
Yep, the Android Marketplace.
Yeah.
So in 2013, they announced that they were creating a company called Calico. It was supposed to be designed to work on aging.
You know, when I hear Calico, I'm thinking of, you know, girls from the 1800s, you know? Putting them on calico dresses. Yeah,
I know. So they were working on fighting, you know, the diseases that basically were caused by aging. So they announced that. They also launched the Chromecast. And, of course, I have got a Chromecast here and Chromecast audio and all that fun stuff. But they launched the Chromecast. And, of course, now I think they're being sued by Sonos, which is unfortunate. But there we have it. So if you don't know what a Chromecast is, basically you can send stuff wirelessly from your phone to this little round hockey puck thing, basically what it is.
Yeah.
And that thing is connected to the TV. And so it was just a good way to do that. And the stuff didn't necessarily have to be on your computer or whatever else or on your phone. It would just send that directly to it. So that puck had an internet connection as well. And it basically gave life to old TVs and stuff like that and made them internet connected.
I think it was very revolutionary, you know, whether one, you know, likes it or not. I think this has given birth to all kinds of stuff. The Chromecast is still a great stuff. I have it still.
Yep. So that year we had another Google death, the RSS reader, Google Reader.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not surprised when we hear something dies at Google, but that certainly is no more. Let's see, anything else happened in 2013? I can't think of anything.
You know, I think that was it, though.
Yeah, that's pretty much
Google.
It.
Well, I think that year we had the Nexus 5, right?
Yeah. Nexus 4 or 5, yeah,
no,
something
Nexus
like
4
that.
Came out in 2012, shortly after.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because the year after that it was the 5X.
So we had the Nexus 5 in 2013.
And that was a pretty good phone, too. It was just, you know, it worked pretty well. It was a nice phone, too.
Yeah.
All right, 2014. That was when Google decided to go on a shopping spree, it seems like.
Too much moolah.
Yep.
Suitcases full of moolah, not knowing what to do with it.
Yep. So they bought Nest for $3.2 billion. You know, that's like $3 for Google.
Yeah.
So they bought an AI company, DeepMind, and I was hoping that they would contribute to AI stuff, basically focusing on machine learning and that type of thing. So that's really helped out a lot of Google stuff. Boston Dynamics, which was later sold.
Good old Boston Dynamics. I think it got sold to SoftBank and
yep,
Waze or something like that.
Yep. Android Wear, that came about in 2014. Hasn't really taken off too well, I don't think, but hopefully we'll see some more going into that. We'll see, though. Of course, that was... what was it called back then? Android Wear?
Yeah.
And then it was renamed as Wear OS.
Yes.
Yep, so now it's Wear OS. Andy Rubin, of course, he was kind of the father of Android, and he went bye-bye in 2014. Of course, he had some scandals going on, and You never really know why he was let go. There's some story in the New York Times that something about sexual harassment, and we don't really know. And then I will wrap it up here with, are you doing 2015? You're doing 2015, right?
Yeah, I'll take it from here home, I guess.
Yep. So Warren's going to take it home, and then we'll move on to Tip.
So from 2015, as Google got bigger and bigger, concerns started to pop up. And as a result, Google would create a parent company called Alphabet. A, B, C, D, you know, I like that song, kids song. Other units like Google, Android, YouTube, and other core services were grouped together under one umbrella, while other companies would be run as separate subsidiaries of Alphabet. As a result of these changes, Sundar Pichai, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, became the CEO of Google, while Larry Page assumed CEO leadership of Alphabet.
Yeah, and of course now he's the CEO of Alphabet.
That's right. Still in 2015, though, Google would join the MVNO, back then as Project Fi, and now it's simply called Google Fi, and this is a network.
Yep, I got it back then, too. It was pretty good. It was innovative for that time.
I still have it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And most especially if you're traveling and outside the country, it is good to have Project Fi or Google Fi now that it is, instead of trying to find a SIM card in that country. And so it runs on T-Mobile networks and Sprint and U.S. Cellular. That's where this MVNO came from. In 2015, also would close the Nexus era with the release of the Nexus 6P and the Nexus 5X.
I got it back then, too. It was pretty good. It was innovative for that time.
I still have it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And most especially if you're traveling and outside the country, it is good to have Project Fi or Google Fi now that it is, instead of trying to find a SIM card in that country. And so it runs on T-Mobile networks and Sprint and U.S. Cellular. That's where this MVNO came from. In 2015, also would close the Nexus era with the release of the Nexus 6P and the Nexus 5X, as indicated in our last week's podcast. That is, the Nexus 6P was the best Android phone of that year, 2015. That would close 2015. So we move on now to 2016. And 2016 could be referred to as the Let's Get Smart year. That year, Google took on a new bold move by trying to do hardware as it envisioned it to be, and would launch two phones. These are the Pixel and the Pixel XL in collaboration with HTC on the hardware side of things. That year, in May to be specific, during the Google I/O, the Google Assistant was introduced alongside with the Google Home.
The Google Home speaker is excellent.
Excellent. And building on the Google Now, the Google Assistant came 2 years after the Amazon Alexa and 5 years after Fruitvale's or Apple Siri. But one can comfortably argue that the Google Assistant has become the best voice assistant.
Oh, definitely. I've seen a lot of reviews and things, but it's usually people testing it out. And the thing that Google Assistant does better than anything else is it knows context. It understands if you ask the question something like, who is the president of the United States? And then you say something like, how old is he? It understands who he is. And that's a simple one that maybe other ones would understand, but it's a lot better at more complex questions. And it also doesn't give you answers that it really isn't confident about. Like sometimes other speakers will just throw something out there. So, but it's definitely, and it has a ways to go, but it is definitely a good ways ahead of everything else out there.
It is ahead of all of them. Now, during that same event, we're talking of that 2016, both Google Allo, remember good old Allo, and Google Duo were announced. So, if
I wish they hadn't died. I liked Allo and Duo. Well, Duo's still here, but
you know, I just never liked Allo. I just didn't know. I just never liked
it. I liked it a lot.
Oh, you did?
The audio quality was good, and it was just a good app. I don't know. It was. I don't know why they released two different apps. Why it wasn't the same app? But I mean,
Allo is Google. Really good. You know, it's Google.
Yeah.
That same year, the self-driving car Waymo was spun off into a separate standalone company under Alphabet. Now we move on to 2017. In 2017, Google spent over $1 billion in the acquisition of some portions of HTC's hardware division and Xbox.
Well, they hadn't gone on a spending spree in a while, and their credit card, was begging to be used. So,
one point something billion. That wasn't too much for Google, you know.
No, maybe it's like 50 cents or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and then that year was Google's having a footing in the Asian world. In the hardware department of that year, of course, Google would produce its very first premium Chromebook dubbed, what was it called? The Pixelbook, as well as two smart speakers in the way of the $50, I love it, Google Mini and its expensive sister, the Google Home Max.
And I've got both of them. I got the Mini and the Max.
That's right.
Now, the Mini is a really nice little speaker. It has some good bass and things
like that. I
like
the Mini. It's not bad at all.
Yeah. I've got it sitting in my bathroom and I play music with it. You know,
I love those. And that same year, two other devices, the Google Daydream. You remember that one? Google Daydream.
Yeah,
VR.
I have that one too. I actually use it to mount my phone, and I use that with the voice app. So, you know, anybody use that? But it's a really nice little headset. But now, of course, they killed Daydream support. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
And the same thing, you know, that same year we have the Google Clips, it didn't go too well. We couldn't talk about 2017 without the iterative Pixel. So we got the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL coming out that year.
And that was my favorite Pixel.
Yes, and I'm still rocking that baby, Pixel 2 XL.
From the accessibility standpoint and just from the feel of it and everything, I think the only thing is it didn't have wireless charging. But for me, that was the best Pixel. I know it had screen problems and things, but I don't know.
It is a good nice Pixel device, and frankly, especially the XL. Of course, there were some screen issues as the screen was coming from LG while the other one was coming from Samsung. So the little guy didn't have the issues that the big guy was having. And
But it was really responsive, too. It was the most responsive Android phone ever.
It is, and that's why I like typing on it, because it is very responsive, and it happens to be one of my favorite. The Pixel 1 is not bad either. They're great phones. I don't know. You know, Google, I don't know. That year also happens to be the first time that Google removed the headphone jack. Remember they were, you know, mocking Apple, you know, about the removal of the headset on, you know, on the, what is it, S7?
It was a big feature
7S.
Of the Pixel 1.
Yeah. And so they removed that, and it was a lot of brouhaha. People were not happy about that. And that same year, Google was, you know, was slapped with $2.7 billion. Of course, the largest at the time from, of course, our friends there in Europe, the EU. The EU is always looking for money. Other trouble.
Yeah, but they're always in debt. So you notice that. They're looking for money, but they're always in debt, even though they steal everybody's money. Oh, anyway. Okay, move on.
Okay. They'll kill you and I. Other troubles for Google that year would also include the sexism charges that was levied against Google with the release of James Damore? What was his name? I don't remember. You know, it was a little memo by that guy. And in that same year, some lawsuits would also surface claiming that Google didn't fairly compensate women, giving rise to more damnation revelations and all of that in that same year. So 2017 was a little bit of a troublesome year for Google. And 2018 was a milestone, though, when we talk about, you know, Google's history as it celebrated its 20th anniversary that year. So we're talking 2018 now, and keeping with this tradition of holding the Google I/O during the month of May, on May 8, 2018, Google announced Google Duplex. Do you use that thing much, Nimmer? I don't seem to be using Google Duplex as it was intended to be. I think I used it once, and I haven't used the Duplex ever since. But it's a great way to be able to have the Duplex, you know, do things on your behalf. It can even fill some forms online. So the Duplex is not bad.
Yeah, no, I think it's just because it's not discoverable. I don't use it that much because I always forget about it. Like, you know, if I'm going to call somebody, you know, book a table or something, I just call the place myself. I always forget about it.
That's right. So in the hardware department, though, you know, we had the Google Home Hub was unveiled. And then also during this year, both the Pixel 3 and its bigger sister, the Pixel 3 XL, were also released. Furthermore, you know, Google took another swipe at the tablet market by introducing the expensive, let me circle that word, expensive Pixel Slate. That went nowhere, in my never-to-be-humble opinion. Although 2018 was a great year for Google, that same year, though, the EU again came calling with yet another massive, massive antitrust fine in the amount of $5 billion, this time surpassing the $2.7 billion, that was levied on them the year before. So it seems like the EU, hey, got that money, we're going to come back for some more. These boys have too much money, or boys and girls, to be politically correct, have too much money. We're going to come for more. So here they came knocking. So as the saying goes, when it rains, it pours. Thus, one misfortune after another kept coming. You know, it was just a bad year. The New York Times broke the news about the reason behind Andy Rubin's leaving Google 4 years earlier. This resulted in some large employee walkouts from around the globe who demanded changes. You know, we're always asking for changes. Google also got a bad press coverage when it was discovered that Google was helping, guess who? The Chinese government, of all people, to develop by developing a censored search engine. I think that thing was called a Dragonfly, or the code name for it. Yeah, I think it was Dragonfly. Also, Google got some hot water for taking on some contract to develop some AI for the U.S. government or military. It's just one thing after another. That would be the troubles and whatever is of 2018. Now, let's move to 2019. During Google's I/O 2019, Google surprised the world by unveiling two cheap plastic phones known as the Pixel 3a and Pixel 3a XL. Right? That's what they got. These two phones would go to be the best phones of 2019, as indicated in our last podcast episode number 17. There's nothing exceptional about these phones, if you ask me, in my never-to-be-humble opinion. Nothing really that stood out. I think what really makes the Pixel 3a is the fact that they got the same flagship camera that the Pixel phones have. And therefore, the regular Pixel a was $400, and for $80 more, you get the XL version. We also saw the return of the headphone with these two phones, and probably played an important role in making that thing sell like no man's business, because Google's sales of the Pixel 3 and 3 XL were just going nowhere, and these three came to the rescue, saved the day. In 2019, Google would release the Pixel 4 and the Pixel 4 XL with some new technology called Solly, as well as that infamous face unlock that was part of the Google 4 and would be part of Google's 2019 happenings. 2019 also would see Google abandoning the dessert and just started doing the regular numbering. And so instead of Android Q, even though it started with Android Q preview, by the time that it was released, it was just simply Android 10. With the release of Android 10, Google brought so many changes to the operating system, especially giving users better control over their privacy and how it is being handled. And I think this is the biggest change ever in Android land. And without a doubt, this would go down as the best thing ever that Google had done with respect to Android OS. Although one could say that technically Nest was fully merged into Google back in 2018, 2019 would be the very first time that a product came out with a simple branding of Google Nest Hub. In the gaming department, we have Google joining the gaming department, and Google would bring the Stadia. For whatever reason, though, towards the latter part of the year, Larry Page stepped down as CEO of Alphabet, and Sundar Pichai assumed leadership, making him both the CEO of Google as well as CEO of Alphabet. This would be our reflection on the last decade in Google's history. So I think that when we look back on all of this, so much has happened in the last 10 years in Google land. So Nima, I think that would be the conclusion for the reflection on the last decade in Google's history. And so we want to look at other things. Nima, you had a little tip you want to talk about, right?
Yep, and you also had an app.
I also have an app. That's right. Thanks for reminding me.
Yep. So I know that some people were saying that the phone information app did not work for them. And that phone information app, there are others out there. When I searched on Google, I found like a few of them. Phone Info is one. There's just all kinds of different apps that did that. But I'm going to show you on the phone where you can actually get a lot of the similar information. not all the information, but a lot of the information in terms of network bands and SIM card numbers and IMEIs and things like that. So there's three places that I'm going to show you here. Let's turn on my phone. Okay, let's see here. I suppose I need to slow down the speech rate, right?
That makes sense, because not everybody speaks German or Espanol or something like that.
Okay, can you guys hear that? That should be good.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Okay. So this is on a Pixel device. Now, one thing I can do is go to settings, of course, and go under about, and there's a good amount of information there. Let's see what we can find there. Open settings.
Opening settings.
Settings. Search settings.
Okay.
About tips and tips about phone. Pixel.
I just scrolled down and went to about phone. Now, here we go. We'll just scroll through. I'm just going to swipe through.
About phone. Search settings. No, but the device name, Pixel, Google account, number, phone number, SIM slot 197, phone number, SIM slot 2,
so it chose my phone number.
Contacts for number, legal information. Regulatory link, safety and regulatory, SIM status, SIM slot 1, Verizon.
Now let's go into SIM status. SIM status.
Verizon, phone number, night, mobile, connected, service, SIM, minus 1.
Ah, I didn't know you were on Verizon.
Yep, this device, I have a Verizon SIM in at the moment.
Mobile voice network type, CDMA, mobile data, CDMA-1XRTT, mobile data network type, Ilan, Roman, not Roman, exit. 891480000.
So that's the ICC ID, which is the same as the SIM card number. So in case somebody is asking for that SIM card number, this is one place to find it. And also keeps you from having to read the tiny numbers on the SIM. And that's also helpful if you need to activate a new SIM for some reason. You can pop it in your phone and get the number right off here. There are also apps that will do that. There's one that I have called SIM Card Info. So this is the eSIM number. It's the eID.
89049030. Okay, but.
And that's for the eSIM. So then I'll hit OK. Let's go back here.
SIM status, SIM slot 2.
And then there's SIM slot 2.
Model and hardware, model, Pixel 4 XL.
So let's go into model and hardware here.
Navigate up, model, search setting, Nova, model, Pixel 4 XL. Serial number 98,100, hardware version MP1.0.
Serial number, hardware version.
Navigate up.
All that is in there. Let's go back here.
SIM slot 1.
MEID, that's kind of like your device ID. So that will show up here if I tap on that. PRL version. IMEI, so if you are switch carriers, they will ask you for the IMEI number of the device, which is basically just their way of identifying that device on the network. So that's where you can find that. And then, of course, there's version information. So let's go in here.
Search setting. Android version 10. Android security patch level. Google Play system update. Baseband version. Kernel version. 4. Build number.
So all that information is in here. So let's go back.
IP address. Play 80. Wi-Fi MAC address. F0. Bluetooth address. F05.
IP. Wi-Fi. And if you want to enable developer mode, you can tap on this build number a few times and access developer mode and get a bunch more options. So this is one way. Now I'm going to show you two other ways to get at the same information. And other information for that matter. So this is on a Pixel device. Other devices may have different dialer codes. You're going to have to look up the dialer codes for your phone. First, if I want to get the SIM information, the IMEI number, in the dial pad, in the dialer, and this is the same for most phones, I can dial star pound 06 pound. And I've got the IMEI information. So that's the IMEI and the serial number. All that is in there. There's another dialer code that I can type in. This one's a little bit longer, but it's star pound info pound star. And this will give you probably the most amount of information. So I'll put it in. Four, six, three, six, pound, star, pound, star. And this is sort of the testing mode. So now in this mode, we can do a number of things. First, I'm going to go into phone information. There we go.
Phone info, more options, button. Select phone index, domain, 3529301025221143, phone number, 97039344481. Current submit, 2, submit of default data SIM, 2, MC, 311480522046111. Current network, Verizon, Roman, not Roman, data service, connected, data network, Type, Ilan, voice service, and service, voice network type, 1XRTT, signal strength, minus 103 dBm, 37 ASU, DL bandwidth, KBPS, 0, L bandwidth, KBPS, 0, LTE physical channel configuration, when the mention status equals primary serving, when L bandwidth numbers equals 10,000, RAT equals 7, frequency range equals 1, when handle number equals 21474834647, when on text it equals I at 5B888CC, physical cell equals 285, set preferred network type.
So I just read out a ton of information. And then if I want to, I can change some things here. For example, what if it connects to LTE or not. I can turn off mobile radio power completely. There are settings for VoLTE. It says that it's turned on and I can't turn it off. Video calling, Wi-Fi calling, SIM card. Dual SIM, dual standby, I can turn that on or off. And then I can do a ping test. I can do carrier provisioning. Sometimes you'll hear that if a phone isn't acting right, the carrier will say they're going to force your phone to reprovision. But you can do it from your end as well in this test mode. So that's just the phone information. I'll go back. There's Wi-Fi information that'll give you all the information on the Wi-Fi that you're using. And there's also usage statistics, which basically gives you a usage of every single thing that you've done on your device. And all the apps and all the time that you've used those apps, pretty much everything that you've done. So by using these three things, you can accomplish a lot of what that phone information does. It's just that the phone information takes all that information and it throws it into sort of a report that's a lot easier to access. And probably maybe it might give you a little bit more information. I know it gives you information about the phone hardware, although if you bought the phone, you should probably know what hardware that you have. I don't know, but
anyway. I think that, you know, some of those, you know, kind of like tells you the type of RAM or, you know,
yeah,
all that information that, you know, typically your phone information is not going to give you that. So I think that's why that app comes into play. It goes a little bit in depth. I used to have one. I think I posted it back then it was on iFree. When I posted on iFree, it was a great app. I don't even remember the name of the app, but I, you know, it had gone free or something like that.
Yeah, there's a good number of them out there. So just, you know, look up phone information or hardware info, whatever. I think there's one called HW Info. There's a number of apps out there that do the same thing. I just found phone information to be a good interface. I liked it. I don't know why they've limited it to certain phones or what phones are supported. I have no idea. The ones I have are all supported, so I don't know.
Well, great. Anyway, so moving along. That was the last tip, right, Nimmer?
Yep.
I want to look at, so I'm the app junkie. Of course, I have to do an app. I have to do an app. So there's an app that I think Nimmer and I have been talking about, and I've played with it some. So it's like a TTS-centric book reader, and it's called the Eevee, or Eevee. I think it's Eevee, E-V-I-E. And I'll be providing the URL there in from the Play Store. So here's Eevee. Now, Eevee has some of the features that I like in an EPUB reader. Now, let's take a little tour of what Eevee is. Near the top, we got more options on the far right. Then you have your library. And we have the open, which is typical if you want to open a book that is not in a library. So I have a book on my SD card if I had one. Or, you know, somewhere on my phone I could tap on this and then go find that book. One thing I notice, however, is the fact that when you tap on open, it doesn't have like a file browser of its own. So you'll have to use any of the file browsers that you have on your phone. So for instance, I had to use the Mixplorer or Mi Explorer in opening and adding books to my library. So it's just straightforward. That's the only caveat there. Now at the bottom of the phone, on the bottom right-hand corner is the The toggle speaking. And here, if I tap on that.
Release date, November 25th, 2008. Ebook hash 1952. Release date.
So I stopped it. Now, talking about other functions of Eevee, if you want to change the voice, by the way, that's the Sarah Prock Megan voice. So I have to go near the top where it says the title of the book. Tap there. When you tap on the name of the book, then it opens up to the text or TTS settings. So I tap here. So let's say I chose. There we go. Now, so if I want to change to another book, one thing I like about it, it supports table of contents. So I do have another old book here. So I'm going to go bring it up. I don't want to go too long here. So I use Me Explorer. Let's bring that book back up. And so if I swipe from left to right, that places me in the table of contents.
Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 9.
So see, now if I want to read it, I move my finger up, and where it says reading mode, you tap there, then there's read from, start reading from here, or speak faster,
speak slower,
translate. So if I
had she found Jane in any apparent danger, Mrs. Bennett would have been very miserable, but being satisfied on seeing her that her illness was not alarming, she had no wish of her recovering immediately, as her restoration.
So now I tap on toggle speaking at the bottom and it stops it. Now the good thing is that this, you can read your book with the screen shut off and it will do your continuous read. So if you want to check this, I'm going to be including the URL in the show notes of the podcast so that you could take a look at it. But that would be my app of the week. Once again, that is the Eevee, E-V-I-E. And I think, Nimmer, I think that would bring us to a conclusion of this podcast. Won't you say, I'm hungry. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's dinner time, and yeah. I don't think we have any emails. But if you have any questions or suggestions, please send them along to ANTAD, ANTAD podcast at gmail.com. If you are not already subscribed to the ANTAD mailing list, where we end up having a lot of fun, you can join us at ANTAD plus subscribe at googlegroups.com. And now it's dinner time.
Thank you. And we'll see you guys next week, God willing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.